Grace, mercy, and peace be yours in abundance from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. To mention, the text before us is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm actually going to, it's verses 3 to 9 that we're looking at, but I want to take us two verses back to the first verse in the chapter to start out today. So it's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, where Paul writes, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed." One of my all-time favorite Calvin and Hobbes cartoons shows Calvin complaining in class. And I won't read the whole thing, but just summarize it with basically Calvin saying, "If ignorance is bliss, then you're denying my inalienable right to the pursuit of happiness." Now, there is something to that old country song that says, "I wish I didn't know now what I didn't know then." And I guess for some things in life, that probably works. But there are some things in life that we do need to know. And so when God, through his word, says, "You need to know this," well, we need to know it. And so today, on this Pentecost Sunday, it's as if we're kind of pulling back the curtain, so to speak, to be able to see the work of what some call the silent member of the Holy Trinity. We have God the Father, God the Son, and then God the Holy Spirit. Spirit's also called the shy member of the Trinity. Because as we look throughout Scripture, sure, we get to see and hear God the Father, God the Son regularly throughout the pages of Scripture. But the Holy Spirit is, well, a little different. You don't hear the Holy Spirit speak. You don't really see the Holy Spirit doing action, so to speak. In fact, the Holy Spirit is a little bit more like electricity. You can only see and hear it under certain circumstances. And so today, as we look in these right conditions, we have the Apostle Paul in the verses just prior to our text, as I said, chapter 12, verse 1. And he explains, "Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed." Now, over the next three chapters, Paul is going to talk about spiritual gifts. And so, in a way, these verses that we're looking at today kind of set up this whole discussion of three chapters. It's a kind of very inclusive introduction of what Paul is going to talk about to the believers in Corinth. And some of you may know and remember this about Corinth. Kind of a difficult bunch of people. They had a lot of stuff going on. There was a lot of talent. There were a lot of gifts. But they kind of got caught up in the gifts themselves rather than in using those gifts for the common good. And so we benefit today as Paul, actually through the whole book of 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Paul explains all kinds of things that we can benefit from. But today, especially this treatise on spiritual gifts. So when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit, how he does it has always been rather intriguing. A lot of people get pretty interested in how the Spirit works, what he does, why there are certain gifts that are given, and how can I get those specific gifts? In fact, that was what was kind of going on with the Corinthians. And so the Apostle Paul takes the time to explain. In fact, according to our unbelief and sinfulness by nature, we are not just uninformed, as he said. We are, if I can go back to Calvin for a moment, blisslessly ignorant when it comes to how the Spirit works. So Paul addresses it right away in verse 3. He says, "I'm informing you that no one speaking by God's Spirit says, 'A curse be upon Jesus.' And no one can say, 'Jesus is Lord,' except by the Holy Spirit." Now, at first glance, that may just seem logical. Okay, we can't praise the Lord without the Spirit at work in us. That makes sense to our minds and our hearts. In fact, this Bible passage, some of you may have even memorized in your old Sunday school days or confirmation class. You know, this is just one of those proof passages that says, "Faith is not from me, it's from God, by grace, through faith, and the working of the Holy Spirit." In fact, Martin Luther describes and explains this working of the Holy Spirit. I invite you to open up your worship folder to the bottom of page 11. This will kind of serve as our statement of faith today as we look at the third article of the Apostles' Creed.
invite you to join me in reading these words together down there at the bottom where it says the third article. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. What does this mean? I believe that I cannot, by my own thinking or choosing, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. Continues on the next page. In this Christian church, he daily and fully forgives all sins to me and all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. Now, if you think of all that work of the Holy Spirit that we just talked about and described, what the Spirit does on a daily basis, we get to see it on that first day of Pentecost. You had a whole group of believers gathered there. It wasn't just the disciples, but the apostles were there, and then a whole group of other believers, and they were waiting on yet another fulfillment of one of Jesus' promises. If you think about it, in those last weeks before Jesus would give his life as a ransom for many, think of all the promises that Jesus made, all the prophecies that he made. He said that he would suffer and die for the sins of the people. He said that he would rise again on the third day, and he fulfilled it. He said, I will see you in Galilee, and he was there when they met him in Galilee. And he said that he would return to the Father as he ascended into heaven. And here we have just one more promise from Jesus when he said, I will send and pour out on you my Holy Spirit. And there they were, in Jerusalem, waiting on the Lord. 10 days had passed since Jesus had ascended into heaven, when suddenly there was the sound of rushing wind and tongues of flame that seemed to separate and rest on them as a sign that the Spirit was there. And you know what happened after that. We just read through it. Peter was emboldened to get up in front of this crowd of thousands and start talking about sin and grace and Christ as Savior of the world. And after that, people responded. They were cut to the heart. Peter assured them of their forgiveness in Christ, and then he welcomed them into God's family of grace through the waters of holy baptism. Parents, children, as Peter said, this promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, because it is through this work of the Spirit, this pouring out, this indwelling of the Spirit, that people were brought to faith and were saved. I mean, it's amazing. In some ways, it's overwhelming. It's this wonderful work that the Spirit is doing right here in front of us, the Spirit of God uniting humanity in forgiveness and joy and the hope of the gospel. In fact, some have compared it to, if you think of Jesus at his baptism, when he was baptized and came out of the water, and the Heavenly Father said, this is my Son whom I love, in whom I am well pleased. That was kind of revealing Jesus to the world as the promised Messiah, God giving his stamp of approval. Just like Jesus was revealed to the world as the Savior, on that day of Pentecost, God revealed to the world that the church would take that gospel message to the ends of the earth, that the Spirit would work through that gospel message to bring people to faith and give them salvation. And here's the thing. Millennia later, there are still people gathering around the gospel here and throughout the world. It's a flat-out miracle that is still taking place today. We can look back on that great day of Pentecost and say, wow, wouldn't that have been amazing? I'll tell you, and I mean this sincerely, I get up in front of you today and I am astounded that any of you show up to hear me talk. And It's a miracle that you're not coming to hear me, you're coming to hear God's word. That's the miracle. That through that work of the Spirit, that hearts continue to be touched, that forgiveness continues to be poured out, that faith continues to be built, and that you someday will find that final fulfillment of being with your Lord and Savior forever. But the thing is that God's not done with you yet. He's not even close. And not just for your sake, but for the sake of the world around you. The Apostle Paul goes on to explain that we have this eternal blessing by grace through faith, but also by grace through faith, we are given a treasure of spiritual gifts. Gifts that are yours. He says, there are various kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of ministries, and yet the same Lord. There are various kinds of activity, but the same God who produces all of them in everyone. As I mentioned earlier, the Corinthian congregation was kind of a difficult bunch. A lot of mistakes were made, a lot of people who had certain attitudes, but the thing that seemed to be the biggest issue was these spiritual gifts. That they looked at all these spiritual gifts that were being given, but there were some that they thought were really, I'll just use the term cool. Corinthians wouldn't have used that term, would have been spelled differently anyway with probably a key, and anyway, I won't get into that. But they wanted those gifts. In fact, in some cases, they were coveting those gifts. Not because they were longing to use them for someone else, but so that they could feel good about themselves for having these gifts that they so coveted. That was the problem. And so the Apostle Paul had to remind them what those spiritual gifts were, how you got them, why you have the gifts that you have, and what the point is. He says, each person is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one person, a message of wisdom is given by the Spirit. To another, a message of knowledge, as the same Spirit provides it. By the same Spirit, faith is given to someone else. And to another, the same Spirit gives healing gifts. Another is given powers to do miracles. Another, the gift of prophecy. Another, the evaluating of spirits. Someone else, different kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. One and the same Spirit produces all of these, distributing them to each one individually as he desires. In other words, all of you, by grace, through faith, have spiritual gifts, but not just for you, for the common good. And that's finally the point. I mean, there is quite a list of gifts that are listed here. And there are other places, too, like in the book of Romans, in the book of Ephesians, there are more gifts that are listed. There are shorter lists elsewhere in Scripture, along with just individual words of gifts that are there for people to receive from the Spirit. Many of these gifts that were given at the time of the Corinthians, like healing and miracles, some of those gifts were given to kind of give the authority of those who were talking, because, of course, at that point, they didn't have this. And so as the apostles went out and as people went out and used these gifts, God gave special gifts at that time. Now, with the advent of the Scriptures, we don't need those gifts, but understand that those gifts of the church are not limited to just those lists in Scripture. In other words, the church in Corinth didn't need experts to design and build churches, to write music, to play instruments, to live stream a service. And you can go on and on. But the church of today does. And you have them, these modern day gifts of the Spirit, one and the same Spirit who produces all of these, distributing them to each one individually as he desires. Because of God's word, I can look out at you today and say, each and every one of you have gifts of the Spirit. And not just one. Multiple gifts from the Spirit. And if you want to know what they are, ask me. I'd be happy to sit down with you. In fact, just this last week, I sat down with someone and talked about their spiritual gifts. I have kind of a neat little spiritual gifts assessment form I can take you through. A couple other resources. We can sit down together, find out what your gifts are, and identify ways that you can put those gifts to use so that they're not just yours to keep in your pocket, but yours to pull out and use for the benefit of those around you, for, as Paul says, for the common good. I mean, just this morning, we can see the Spirit at work, right? We can see parents who are bringing their child to the waters of holy baptism. We see leaders in the church that recommend and guide. We see people who have been here over the last couple of days preparing, bringing food and setting things out so that we can have a potluck today in connection with our voters meeting. I mean, you can just go on and on right down the list. All you have to do is open your eyes and look. And you'll see those gifts, not just in you, but in others. And as we bring them together, as we use them together as the body of Christ, they are for the common good. Because that's how the Spirit works, right? That's the cycle. He calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth, and then endows her with spiritual gifts that she can use to the glory of God, to the benefit of God's people, but also to carry that gospel message to the ends of the world. Why? So that the cycle can continue. So that the Holy Spirit can continue to call, gather, enlighten, and sanctify. Do you know where this is going? We could just keep going over and over and over again. But that's how it's been, because that's how it was on the day of Pentecost. That's how it's been every day of this New Testament age of the church. That's how it's going to be in the coming months, as over these summer weeks we get to see again and again these gifts of the Spirit at work in the words and works of Jesus through his ministry in the Judean countryside. But for now, God bless you as he strengthens you and forgives you and nourishes you and enlightens you and builds you up and strengthens you to live your life of faith. Because he pours out, he lives to pour out his Holy Spirit on you, that through you, the Holy Spirit may pour out his gifts on the world. Amen.